Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, maybe page 1 in your Bible, verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26, 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Well, once again, a pleasant good morning to you, appreciative of you being here. If you're with us in the auditorium at the Arlington Church of Christ, once you know you're a welcome, honored guest, come back any chance you may have. Likewise, to those of you tuning us in by web radio, hope to see you here sometime soon. We'd love to get to know you and visit with you and ultimately worship God together with you. Man was looking for a job, so he goes to the unemployment office. And they said, "We have a series of questions that we want to ask you." He says, the first question, "What is one and one?" And this old boy says, 11. And they say, "How many days are there in a week?" And he goes, "Well, there's yesterday and today, so that'd make two." And they go, "Okay, our final question, who shot Abraham Lincoln?" He said, "Well, I don't know." The examiner said, "Well, go home. When you figure it out, come back and tell us." So the man walks in the front door. His wife said, "How'd it go, honey?" He says, "Great, dear, I already got my first assignment, and it's a murder case." Troy laughed on that one. I'm good. This morning, I want to talk about some important truths that are illustrated by postage stamps. Kind of an interesting way to look at some true statements that we find in Scripture. Now, Jesus, the Master Teacher, we call Him the Master Teacher. One of the reasons is because He used almost everything around Him to teach a lesson. For instance, in Matthew chapter 13, He says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and there may have been a sower up on the hill as He is teaching, sowing seed." So He's using what's around Him. He talks about a pearl of great price. He talks about all sorts of things, using what those around Him know. And we may do the same thing for us today. We may use truths around us to illustrate things that we may know. I thought this lesson would be interesting for a couple of reasons. One, I am a stamp collector myself, a member of the American Philatelic Society, member 225093. If you want a recommendation, I'll be glad to turn you in and we can talk afterwards. But also, not just for me, but I'm talking this morning to people who work for the Postal Service, who buy stamps from the Postal Service, and who receive mail from the Postal Service. Therefore, we can all relate to stamps in some form, shape, or another, can't we? So I want us to talk about some important truths that we learn from postage stamps. And as a bonus for you being here, there are postage stamps on the slides as well. You ready? First important truth, stamps are made. There's the first U.S. stamp from 1847. You know, stamps, they don't just accidentally exist. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not. They don't just open a cabinet one day and there are sheets of stamps. That's not how it works. They were designed. You have an art designer, you have an engraver, you have a printer, there's somebody who does quality control. Stamps, they were made. They didn't just exist. Do you realize, dear friends, that we also didn't just exist? We were created by Almighty God. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and notice here in verse 26, "And God said, let us," plural, who's He talking about? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. "Let us make man in our," plural, "image." And what do they do? "After our likeness, dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and the creeping things." So God, verse 27, created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them. Male and female created He them. So we see, just as the human being, we didn't just exist, although that's what our evolutionist friends want us to believe, that man all of a sudden just appeared out of nothing. We know that's contrary to knowledge, human reasoning in and of itself. Stamps were made, so are humans. Similarly, in chapter 2 and verse 7, Psalm 100, we sing praises to God because we were made. And the Hebrew writer shares that sentiment as well in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4. Another fact from postage stamps. Stamps bear the image of dignity. There's the first ever adhesive postage stamp from 1840. There's Queen Victoria. Do you ever realize that man is made in the image of God? Not that, see, God's a spirit. God doesn't physically look like us. But in the same way, God reasons. God can think and make decisions. That's what He means when you're made in the image of God. Look there. Created in His own, verse 27, image. In the image of God created He them. Male and female created He them. It's not male and female in questioning. Male and female and confused. It's male and female. That's God's plan from the beginning. Don't try to mess that one up. But see, the stamp bears the image of dignity. And since Great Britain was the first country to issue postage stamps, they're the only ones in the world that don't say Great Britain on them because it's got a picture of the monarch on there. Ours say USA. Canada says Canada. Oh, by the way, because of this image, they're not easily counterfeited as well. People try it, but it's harder than you think. See, because a stamp bears the dignity image or the name of the place of origin, we're created in the image of our Creator. We bear the image of our dignity. That would be God. We move on. I don't want to muddy that one too much. Number three, stamps are made by authority. There's your famous upside-down airplane stamp. I've seen one, but I don't own one. Did you know there's a whole set of laws that regulate the usage of postage stamps? What you can use them for, what you can't use them for. Go with me in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and watch this. We too, friends, we are governed by divine authority. Not just our own whims, wills, and wishes. The divine authority of God. Look there at the very end of the book of Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus comes to the 12, now 11, because Judas has killed himself. And He says, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And Matthew adds, amen. That should be 18 through 20, by the way. Jesus has all authority. And He passed that authority upon to His disciples. But see how it's recorded in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3 from Peter's sermon here. One of the many sermons of Peter in the book of Acts, I should say. Acts chapter 3, 22 and 23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. You shall hear in all things whatever he will say unto you. And it will come to pass, every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So Moses was saying how there's going to come somebody like me among his brethren, and he's going to have authority. And you better listen to him. And that's Jesus Christ. In fact, from Hebrews 5, 8, 9, He is the author of eternal salvation. Everyone that believes, the Jew first, also the Greek. We see that it is the author. He wrote the book. He has authority. The United States government has the authority to issue postage stamps. They do it on a semi-regular basis, but never when I think they will. And then they put something out that I don't think they should. But that's a different story. But they do whatever they please because they're the authority in the question, not me. Well, we are regulated by the law of God. We move on. Another important truth. Oh, there's my man Eisenhower. A ragged edge does not make a real hindrance. Now most of our stamps are already adhesed on the back. But think back when you got a whole sheet and you had to bend it and lick and stick, right? By the way, when you lick and stick a stamp, you consume 1/10 of a calorie. You're welcome. There's a small little workout for you. But if you think about it, sometimes if you didn't tear it just right, your stamp would have a ragged edge. Right? They wouldn't all be pristine and perfect. One would be always be bigger than the other, no matter how you did it. Dear friends, we too are the same sometimes. You know, some stamps can get really ugly if you cut them wrong. They're too small. Maybe we're too small, too short, too bald, too crippled, too scarred, etc. Maybe all of our edges aren't perfect. Maybe we're a little rough and ragged around the edges. Yet, even though the stamp might be rugged and ragged, it still does the job. You still lick it and stick it on the corner of the envelope. We know Philippians 4:13, one of the most misused verses in the Bible, doing all things by the power of Christ. It doesn't mean you can go rob a bank by the power of Christ, but Paul says before that, I know how to be abound, I know how to abase, I know how to live my life because of the teachings of God. But notice here what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as well. He talks about even living in poverty, and you might want to think of a ragged stamp. It's not perfect. It might be living in poverty, if you will. Moreover, my brethren, do we to you to wit or to know of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches that are in Macedonia, how in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality? For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The churches in Macedonia, they were poor. I mean poor financially speaking. And yet they were still able to cut and save and give to Paul so he could distribute on his missionary journeys. See, just because we may have a ragged edge and we may not look perfect, doesn't mean we still can't serve the Lord. That ragged edge postage stamp will still get a letter there. Another truth we learn from postage stamps, no real benefit, at least until the old ones were licked. I guess if you want to be not spreading germs, you could wet a towel or a sponge, but that's no fun. Man usually must get licked, there in quotes, before he is of much importance. Think about Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, he was thrown as an older man, probably 60, 70, somewhere in there. He was thrown in the lion's den for serving the Lord. And you might call that getting licked, but he came out safe on the other side, not a scratch on him. He stayed in there the whole night. His three Hebrew friends at the beginning of the book of Daniel, they're about 18 years old, and they say to the governor, they say to King Nebuchadnezzar, we won't bow down. Even if our God doesn't save us, we won't bow down to you. You might could say they got licked when they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but they come out literally unscathed. Don't even smell like they've been in smoke. I think about Paul, that list that he gives of all the sins, that long laundry list, three times he was shipwrecked, actually wound up being four. He was beaten of the Jews, this, here, and there. He was left for dead. They stoned him. People hated him. People wanted to kill Paul. And yet, look how he turned out. But look at that passage that Paul writes to those in Rome, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Love this passage. Paul says, and we know, it's not we think, it's not we theorize. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. God uses everything for good in some way, shape, form, or another. Now, we don't always understand how at the time. I'm fairly certain that Daniel and the Hebrews and Paul didn't every time understand at that moment why they were going through this. I mean, they knew somewhat, but they didn't know how they were going to get through it. But they trusted in God. We must do the same. All things work together for good, even if we get licked. Notice what Paul tells the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the first five verses. 2 Timothy 2 and 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit the same to faithful men who are also able to teach. Thou therefore endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chose him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. He says, endure hardships, how? As a good soldier, one that obeys laws, commands, and ordinances. See, sometimes we've got to get licked be a benefit. We've got to go through a hardship, come out on the other side, and realize I got through it only because of God. So stamps are no benefit unless they're licked. We move on. Another important lesson we learn from postage stamps, they're of various values. Currently, you go to a post office, you can get a 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cent, 4 cent, 5 cent, 24, that's your postcard, or 24 ounce, excuse me, postcard. You can get a forever, a 2 ounce, a 3 ounce. I mean, if you really want to, you can spend $26.95 on a stamp. You can get it there, hopefully, by tomorrow if everything works out right. Stamps are of various values. You just don't go up and say, I need a stamp. Well, which one do you need? Are you mailing a package or what? And I tell you what, that little 1 cent stamp works just as hard as that dollar stamp that you buy or that forever stamp. Because you're going to put it on that envelope and it's going to do its job to help make up the sum that you need it to make it to the destination. It doesn't matter if you have one or 60 stamps on there. They all work just as hard. Dear friends, we as Christians, our talents are not all the same. We all do different things, yet we're all working for the same goal. And I feel like that was magnified, put on display, if you will, during our vacation Bible school. Because some were helping with this, and some were helping with that. We're familiar with the story of the talents, right? In Matthew chapter 25, there's a boss man, has three servants. One, he gives five talents, another two, another one, a talent, a sum of money, probably in gold, if we're being honest. The five-talent man doubles his money, brings back 10. The two-talent man doubles his, brings back 4. But statistically, they bring back the same return. And the one-talent man hid his in the earth because he was afraid. And he brings back the same. And so he loses his talents given to the five-talent man who now has 11. But I want you to notice this passage in the 14th chapter of Mark, if you will. We've got to do what we can. See, I can't do what Brother Troy can do. And he can't do what I can do, or Dwayne, or Bobby. I mean, we all have different abilities. And we're called upon to do the best of our ability. I can't do it to the best of Dwayne's ability, because that's not going to be fair to either of us. But I want you to notice this story here in Mark chapter 14, about verse number 8. To set the scene, Jesus is in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. We're getting awful close. It's right at the Last Supper. And a woman who we're introduced to is Mary from a parallel account brings in an alabaster box of costly ointment, of costly perfume. And she breaks that alabaster box and she cleans the feet of Christ and she pours it on Christ and she wipes away his tear. She cries and then wipes away that ointment. And there comes a ruckus and a fuss. Well, why didn't she just sell that money? Give the money to the poor. And I want you to notice, first off, Jesus says, why do you trouble her? Verse 6, she's done a good work. You have the poor with you always. You always have a chance to do good to them, but I'm not with you always. But look at verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has become beforehand to anoint my body for the burying. See, they hadn't included in, Christ told him he's going to die, but it really didn't sink in until he died. She had come in a way to prepare the body to be buried. But notice that first line, she's done what she could. She couldn't go out and save the whole world. But in that moment, she gave the best of her abilities to Christ. And we're called upon to do the same, right? Just because we have different talents, different skills, different abilities, we must all give the best that we can. That's all God wants. He wants our best. He never asks you for more than your best. He just wants your best. So stamps are of various values, and I guess you could say Christians are as well. We go on. See, stamps, they cooperate. Stamps, they like to work together. In fact, a 1 center work with a 2 cent, a 4 cent, or a dozen different others, and it can work alone. See, the United States is unique in the fact that every stamp we've ever issued from 1847 to now is still valid for postage if you really want to. Some of them you're losing a lot of value, but you can mail it for whatever. They work together. You can mail stamps from 60 years ago and today. It's all perfectly fine. The government will just let your letter go on through. Dear friends, we as Christians, we've got to cooperate. It is such a shame when you hear of congregations and half of them want to do this and half of them want to do that and then they sit there and argue and they get nothing done. Well, you're not being any benefit at all to the Lord's body, are you? Dear friends, we as Christians must work together. Notice what Jesus prayed for, my best friend, prayed for in the Garden of Gethsemane. In John chapter 20, the true Lord's Prayer, if you will. He knows he's about to be betrayed. In fact, when he ends the prayer, paraphrasing, but he says, oh look, it's Judas and he's here to betray me. This is right before that happens. Notice in John 17, verses 20 and 21, he says, "Neither do I pray for these alone, but I pray also for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." See, Jesus Christ prays for three different groups of people. He prays for himself first. He prays for his apostles second. Then he prays for us, or all the others who believe. And notice here, he prays that they all are one, as he is one in the Father and the Father is one in him. He prays that all his believers will work together. Notice the problem they had at the city of Corinth. And the whole reason that Paul is writing this lesson is because good Christians can't get along at Corinth, and he's got to fix it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, "Now I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the name of Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions when I come, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment." He says, "For I hear there are contentions. For some of you are saying I'm the household of Paul or of Cephas or Apollos or of Christ." See, the problem in Corinth was if Paul had been in there and they'd heard Paul preach, they were immersed into Christ for the remission of their sins. But then they said, "I'm a Paulite. I follow Paul." And then Cephas or Peter would come in and he'd preach, and some would obey the gospel. And then they'd say, "Well, I'm a Peterite. I'm from Cephas. I'm more following him." They're preaching the same thing. So you're not baptized in the name of the preacher who immersed you or the man who immersed you. You're baptized into Christ. And so Paul writes that question, says, "Was Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you?" No. Quit being divided, because if you're divided, you can't work together. He's going to say similar things in chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Christians must work together. I think we do a pretty good job of that here in Arlington, but we need to be reminded we all work together. Let's move on. Another lesson from postage stamps. They'll work anywhere you put them. Obviously, you want it up in the right corner, but I've received letters with stamps all over it, and the post office will still cancel it, let it go. It'll work on a letter or a package, big or small. It doesn't matter. Dear friends, Christians are humble, and we're supposed to do all we can everywhere we may be. Paul's talking about having the mindset of Christ, where he literally emptied himself of heaven and came down to live as a man to walk upon this earth. So we need to live like Christ and be willing to work wherever Christ worked. That passage in Romans chapter 1, Paul's talking about, "For I am a debtor, I am in debt, both to the Jews, the Greeks, the barbarians." He says, "But I am not ashamed of the gospel." I may be in debt, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel. "It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It doesn't matter where you put Paul. You can read through the book of Acts. Paul worked where that he was put. We should do the same, right? You think you can only evangelize to people at church? The answer is everywhere you go. I tell you what, for our vacation Bible school, I stopped at a red light, and some Jehovah's Witnesses rolled down their window and tried to invite me to their stuff, and I fired right back at them and invited them to our VBS. They're at the red light there across from Walgreens. They weren't expecting that, I tell you now. But I was in the moment, so I invited them. At church, at Walgreens, Dollar General, at family reunions, guess what? You work sowing the seed where you are. Work there and then move on. That stamp will work anywhere it's put. You should as well. We go on. Oh, look, there's an anniversary of the printing of the Bible. Did you know postage stamps have to be purchased? Sadly, you can't walk up to Buddy and say, "I need some stamps." He's not just going to give you some. Angie's not just going to give you some. Although I wish that was the case, but it's not. They are of no value until bought. In fact, they're a sticker, more or less, until you've actually given money for them. They must be exchanged. Something must be exchanged for these stamps to work. Do you realize Christians must first be purchased with the blood of Christ? That's what Paul tells the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. "God has made you overseers of the flock, which Christ purchased with His own blood." We were bought with a price. The most precious price ever was given Jesus Christ, He bought me from sin. He paid my ransom. He paid my debts in full. And now I'm of value because He bought me. Stamps must be bought. Thankfully, we were bought as well. Almost done, I promise. Another lesson from postage stamps. They're not ready until they're canceled. Our old life of sin must be canceled out, or blotted out, if you will. Go with me to the book of Acts. We'll show you two passages in Scripture that are parallel passages, although the world doesn't see them that way, but they are. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, the second recorded gospel sermon. Peter's giving this one as well. He says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come for the presence of the Lord." Repent and be converted to have your sins blotted out. Go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." See that parallel? They both start with repent. Now, what does he say in chapter 3, verse 19? Repent, be converted. What does he say in 2:38? Be baptized. Isn't to be baptized, aren't you converted? Yeah, that's one and the same. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that you may have the remission of sins. See, a stamp that's not ready to go on the letter until it's gone to the main office and it's been canceled. And thanks be to God that my sins have been canceled. They have been blotted out and I retain them no more. But finally, postage stamp perseveres till it arrives. Postage stamp and I share the same birthday, by the way. That's why it's on there. That stamp's going to hang on that envelope until it gets to its final destination. By and large, they don't just decide halfway there, "Well, I'm done." You send a letter from here to Kalamazoo, they don't decide to stop halfway there and say, "Well, I'm done on this journey. Too bad. I hate it for you." No. Dear friends, we as Christians, we must persevere as well. You know that passage of Revelation 2 and verse 10? "Be thou faithful unto death." And that's when you receive that crown of life. But key in that passage in Matthew, and the lesson is yours. Matthew 24 and verse 13. Notice what Jesus says here as He's talking about the end of the world, or the end of the destruction of Jerusalem, and then the end of the world. In verse 13, He says, "He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Dear Christian friend, hear me out. The going's going to get tough, and the tough's got to get going. You can't decide in 5 years, "Well, I'm done being a Christian. I'm ready for my reward now." If there's still breath in your lungs, you can't decide that your journey's over, dear friends. It doesn't work that way. See, that stamp hangs on till it reaches its destination. We as Christians, we've got to hang on till the Lord comes back, or we close our eyes for that final time, whichever one comes first. We've got to be faithful until that moment. Who knew you could learn so much from postage stamps? We could go on, but I think that will suffice it for today. But I do want you to do something. Next time you buy stamps, you send a letter or get a letter, I hope you think about some of the stuff we've talked about in our lesson. And ultimately, I hope you're ready to have your sins blotted out. I hope you're ready to be canceled, if you will. Repent and be converted. Have your sins blotted out. That means if you don't repent and if you're not converted, you still have your sins. That's a simple equation. Dear friends, why not become a Christian today by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized? You go down that watery grave, a new creature come up, or an old creature come up, a new creature alive in Christ. If you're not a Christian, why not become one as we sing this encouragement song? Dear Christian friend, hang on to that final destination. If you've gotten tired, if you've gotten out of the way, if you've just quit, why not come back, repent of those sins, and leave in a restored relationship with our Lord? If we can help you in any way at all, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.